News Radio KONP presents The Todd Ortloff Show. Now, from Port Angeles, it's Todd Ortloff.
All right, welcome to the program. We're going to spend the first part of the show today talking with Kevin Holt. We get him in about once a month to talk about all things business. And today, kind of a fascinating topic we're going to talk about, and it may be surprising to you, about exporting. And if you are in exporting, you might be able to get a little bit of financial help as well.
It's really amazing. There's 360 degrees of exciting out there. and so what I tell my clients is, wouldn't it be nice if you could increase your sales? If you could insulate your company from local economic ups and downs, if you could attract great people, if you could find, as you said, Todd, new sources of financing to support that growth. And how about increasing the value and the potential selling price of your business when you're ready to retire?
Because after all, you could become international and you wouldn't even think of it that way.
Yes, right? You can if you'd like to get into exporting.
Now, I know, because I've known you for a long time, and this is one of the things when you first arrived in the area we're talking a lot about back in the day.
Yep.
And it's a big deal. And you know, frankly, I think it's a big push in our state. We are
very much.
We're a big exporting state just because of our location.
Company that starts with a B.
Yep. They've kind of figured that part out, right? But let's talk about, because I think that getting to the next step is what we want to talk about in the fact, if you're a little old Port Angeles Squim area business, you know, you may not think.
You may not.
That I'm that.
You might think the only people who can export here are people with logs. Mm-hmm. But believe it or not, the thing that we like to say is 95% of the world's consumers just don't live here. And so you might be surprised that many global customers are actually very interested in what we have right here in Clallam County. I was skeptical when I first found out about exporting many years ago when I started with the SBDC, because I remember what we were told during the Clinton administration. Our money's too expensive. Our quality's no good. We can't compete with German and Japanese producers. Oh, it's too complicated. And there are many barriers and restrictions for small businesses. And what I found out was, like many of the other things we heard during that administration, that's really not true anymore. And I would say, what would be one really big difference in a market between the 1980s and now?
I think there'd probably be a lot of things, but in your world, what would be the
How about this thing called the internet?
Oh, there you go. Right. Yeah, we've all said we've taken down the the border of transportation in some ways. Yeah.
It's easy to forget those bad old days when we didn't have that connectivity. I was out in Forks last week, and one of my clients was saying, gosh, you know, I was out of internet for 2 days. And I said, you know, when I think about it, I was actually out of internet for the first 44 years of my life.
And at times I wish I was.
Oh, wouldn't that be peaceful?
So you can be anywhere and do this kind of work.
And we didn't have e-commerce back in the 80s, and so global commerce is just one more thing that the web's disrupted. Now, I first learned about real opportunities in exporting back in 2006 when a small e-commerce client of mine called. He had a small e-commerce business. I don't know how big he was. But he called and said, I've got this problem. I'm a stocking distributor with Thermos, and I sell Thermos camping equipment online. Kind of a cool idea, I thought. Mm-hmm. He says, but I keep getting these orders from Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Dubai. How do I get these people to stop?
And you're thinking, how do you get these people so you can get it to them?
Right. And now, what I didn't have at that time was the technical skill to tell him specifically what to do. But we are a network of 24 offices. And so I just went to our email system that reaches all of our offices at once and said, hey, help me with this. How do I answer this question? And one of our more experienced advisors picked up the phone and called me. And he said, Kevin, just tell him to drop it off at DHL or UPS. For small consumer goods that don't have a lot of complicated, you know, like a thermos or a camp stove, they can take it from there. And so rather than putting the stuff back in inventory and canceling the order and reversing the credit card and all the other stuff that he was doing, just call DHL, call UPS, say, here's my situation. They will take care of it completely. So for small consumer goods, it's really not any different than ordering something off Amazon or eBay in reverse.
Now, a lot of people will, and I'm sure I'm getting ahead of things, but they'll say, okay, so that's a business, and that's part of maybe a market that I can get. What does that mean for taxes, for tariffs, for all of that sort of thing that happens when you become a, I'll use the word air quotes, real exporter in that sense. The guy with the thermos may not have thought himself of himself as an exporter, but he really was.
He was, and I think your question is more about what if 40% of my business is exporting?
Right. All of a sudden, it's more than just a few orders and there. It's a good portion.
It is. And so what exporters will do is they will participate in the various programs that we can share with them, and I'll talk about those a little bit later. But the idea is that the process is far less onerous than you would imagine, and tariffs and taxes are paid by the customer, not the shipper. Mm-hmm. And so the idea with UPS and DHL and the other carriers is when it gets there, the person picks it up, and the carrier says, okay, here it is, but I need $18 for the equalization fee or the tariff or the overseas tax.
Whatever it's called, yeah, right.
And so as long as everybody knows that up front, it works out very well. Mm-hmm. And I think many of us have purchased things from eBay who do bring in Amazon, who Amazon less so, but eBay tremendously bring in overseas products.
Oh, yeah, and all the time. I'm getting Chinese products, and I didn't even realize I was getting a Chinese product.
Right, that's one thing you got to watch out for. Yeah. Why did that take 3 months? Oh, well, because...
But I will say, conversely to that, sometimes I'm quite impressed. I'll get from a legitimate eBay seller. You know, it's usually kind of a specialty item that I can't get somewhere else.
Yes,
and I'll get it just as fast as a guy in Indiana. Sometimes
it's really amazing.
Actually,
I'm going to guess based on your musician background that these might be small electronics projects.
They usually are something like that, or something specialized that just nobody else seems to have it stocked, and I can't get it any other way. And again, maybe that's another thing to talk about when you're in exporting. You can find a market where
you might
be the only one that does that because you can specialize in that small amount of things.
In fact, I'm going to jump way ahead to the end of my conversation and talk about how you could find a market.
Okay.
Because let's say you're a person in Clallam County, and I'm going to go through a couple of examples here of this, what I think is a drastically underutilized opportunity for our area. And I'll give you some examples from my client work. What would you think if I told you that you could export fiddleheads?
Yeah.
Now, who would ever think that those little curly tops of
we see them everywhere.
The bracken ferns, right?
Who'd want that, right?
Believe it or not, those are a delicacy in China.
Okay.
In fact, years ago, a Chinese neighbor of mine had a bunch of blankets laid out over his car and fiddleheads all over the car drying in the sun. Mm-hmm. And I said, goodness gracious, Han, what is that? And he goes, oh, you have to pay $8 for four of these at the Chinese herb shop. $8 for four fiddleheads.
So
my backyard's worth about $3,000.
I was just going to say, I think I've got a market here. I've got some... Okay, so let's go with the fiddleheads thing because that's very interesting. So how would you develop that into a business?
I think the first thing you'd want to do is to take that to its ultimate example is you'd want to establish some credibility of your source. My backyard is probably not the best place, but if you produce those under a controlled environment, if maybe you applied for organic certification, which is a process but a doable one. You might find the ability, or you maybe went to DNR and got a gathering permit and from the ultimate wild location. And you would call me, and I would reach out to our research team in Spokane, and they would actually be able to get for me the names and addresses of companies overseas that would be interested in purchasing.
Yep. Really? All right. And I'm the marketer in me is starting to play around. I'm seeing two different ways you could go in a fiddlehead market. You could do, as you mentioned, become organically certified, grow these on your own in some controlled environment. That's one market, but you might be able to go and get a gathering permit and do the ultimate wild fit.
Yes, indeed.
And that may be another market, right? Because just like people want a certain organic thing, or maybe they say, well, they're better if they're from the true wild. We don't want farm grown.
Grown in the 12 feet of rain that the Forks gets every year.
Yep. You could make that a marketing position. Okay,
you sure can.
I think people need to realize that your organization can help you find a customer.
We will definitely help you find customers and markets. One of my clients has a frozen at sea fishing boat.
Okay.
And we never think of this, but Canada and Mexico are also export countries. And nothing can be easier, especially here in Port Angeles, than sending things to Canada.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, just buy them a ticket on the
Blackwell Ferry. You could just have someone literally ferry it over. Yeah, right.
And I imagine the Blackwell carries a lot of freight, too. So the idea is that those demands are out there and the markets are actually cataloged by the U.S. Department of Commerce.
And so one of the issues I think you're kind of driving at in this whole conversation is a lot of folks who might have a small business have not thought about that step.
Yep.
And Fiddleheads is a great example.
It's crazy.
But you might be doing something in your own business right now just here in our local market that could lend itself to being an export, quote unquote.
I would be shocked if it wasn't.
Yeah.
A couple more examples from my customer base. How about blueberries? You know, blueberries here, the prices go up and down. The weather goes up and down. Blueberry farmers have a lot of challenges. One of my clients that I used to work with in Whatcom County now sells his entire blueberry production to Dubai.
Really?
And the people in Dubai don't care what the price is. They love those. In his case, he is certified organic. They love those fat, round American blueberries.
Really? And they'll pay whatever dollar they have to get it.
They've got a lot of money over there.
Yeah, this is true. But again, finding that market.
Yes.
Isn't that great? I mean, I'm hearing people who are probably in agriculture right now going, wow, I'd love that.
And how nice would it be not to have to deal with those commodity fluctuations?
Yeah, you're going to get what you get.
Yes.
And what it's worth, basically.
In my client's case, they literally subscribe to his crop. It's like, we want this many pounds every year for the next 5 years.
So is he even able, not to belabor this, but he probably doesn't sell to anybody else?
No, he does not sell locally. Yeah. He does not sell.
Which is really a crazy thought. Because I can tell you, he started being a local grower
and
a local seller, right?
He just got hammered, you know, when the prices go way down, it's the farmer's conundrum. Well, I'm going to sell it, but I'm going to sell it for less than it cost me to grow it. And you never have to deal with that.
And how Dubai liked blueberries so much. That's another surprise.
Blueberries are good. You know, everybody likes them. One of my clients in Skagit County sells all of their organic blueberries to the Seahawks. So, you know, that's not exporting, but that's good marketing.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, it is taking a page from the same book.
It sure is. Look for a unique market. Right. Cosmetics. The SBDC has a client in Lacey called Bliss Kiss. They authorized us to talk about them. And they sell certified organic nail polish and lip gloss to South Korea.
And that's a huge market, I
bet. Massive. Yeah. Massive. Lots of lips in South Korea.
And there's a thing about cosmetics there.
It
really is a big deal.
If anybody's seen any K-pop videos, they know that cosmetics are king.
Yeah.
One of my clients in Skagit County sells cardboard boxes to Canada. Now they would stand up and say these aren't cardboard boxes. They're actually called pallet stabilizers, and they use them inside large freight containers that have very heavy goods like water or beer, where you can't absolutely fill it to the walls. It would weigh too much because water is 8 pounds per gallon. So these structures go in between the pallets so they don't fall over in shipping. And they send those up
commodity.
They're one of the only places that makes them. So they sell to Molson's Canadian and Nestle Waters and a variety of other producers.
And they're here in Washington?
They are in Burlington, Skagit County. Yeah. Now, how about gun safes? We probably have people here in Clallam County who make gun safes or could. Our client in Cedro Woolley, great big metropolis of Cedro Woolley, they sell mobile. They're called Truck Vault. They sell mobile firearm safes to police departments in Brazil and to police departments in Germany, all over the world. They got an order from Iraq, but the U.S. government said,
we do have
restrictions.
Right.
How
did they find those markets? I mean, that's a really interesting
They found
product.
Those with the SBDC research team. When we put forward a market request, my Frozen at Sea Fish Fisher got the same program. You get back a spreadsheet that says, here are all the organizations that we have discovered that have an interest in this product line that are not otherwise restricted by the department, USCIS, they call it, Customs and Immigration.
So what a valuable tool. And again, as we've always said, this is a free thing.
It absolutely is. It's free again.
And I think you really, by inquiring about that, you're going to get off the start mark.
Yes.
Because that's the biggest issue for folks, I think, is like, okay, where might my market be? And then can I? You know, you may identify Spain as a great place to sell something, but maybe there's some sort of a limitation.
There might be.
And so you may just forget it.
Right.
Right.
And when you find those locations where there is open commerce, then you tap into the fact that while back in the 80s we were told nobody wanted our stuff, China did us a big favor by selling a lot of crappy knockoffs and poison foods and other crap.
People are looking for quality.
They are.
And they know a U.S. good is going to most likely be a lot better than a Chinese good.
We have something called the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the FDA. We have a lot of lawsuits in this country. And while we have a lot of conflicted feelings about all of those things, people from overseas look into that and say, boy, that's a whole lot better than what I can buy locally.
And the beauty of it, too, I mean, you just ticked off a number of international companies there that are located in the metropolises, as you said, like Cedro Woolley.
Burlington.
Burlington, yeah. You know,
and Eastern Whatcom County.
You know, and it's the order comes in on the internet.
It does.
And off it goes, and you can even use, I'm sure, you know, some of this is not being shipped by UPS or DHL, but maybe if you got a small product, you could still be shipping things that way.
You certainly can, and if it's a bigger product, then you use what they call LTL, or less than load, meaning less than a full container load. There are freight brokers all over the place.
And you guys can help with that,
we
too,
do.
Right?
We do. We work with a really powerful company up in Whatcom County for cross-border into Canada. And just, again, to get back to Canada and what a lucrative opportunity it is, about half the town of Ferndale, which is just a little bit northeast of Bellingham, is industrial parks that are occupied by Canadian companies who want to access the U.S. market. So they create a Canadian-owned but U.S.-located manufacturing facility here.
Sneaky.
Yes, they are. Those Canadians. You know, you know why 80% of the Canadians live by the border is they're massing for an invasion. But well, that's another topic.
Which they'll do in a business park somewhere.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Let's take a break. I want to come back. I want to talk about a couple things. Getting some dollars.
Indeed. Money. We like
that. And I want you to talk about, you mentioned before we went on the air, could a bed and breakfast be considered an exporter?
Wonderful.
And you might be able to get dollars that way as well. So
the question will be answered.
Kevin Holt's my guest. We'll do one more segment with him when we come back right after this.
Mike has FOM, the fear of missing McRib. So he cleared his calendar.
Yo, dude, backstage passes? Nah. Hey, babe, this weekend? Can't do it. What up? That sounds great, but count me out.
Do what you gotta do. Just don't miss the return of the sandwich, the myth, the legend, the McRib. Come into McDonald's today and get a delicious, saucy McRib sandwich, made even better with the one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper, the one you crave. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
The Washington State Patrol reminds you that every second matters when you're behind the wheel. Cell phones can delay a driver's reactions as much as drinking and driving can. Just one text and one drink can be one too many for you, your passengers, and other drivers. Don't drive impaired in any way, and do your part in keeping yourself and others safe.
This message is brought to you by the law firm of McMiniman and McMiniman, Port Anderson Squim, protecting you and your family since 1985.
You can tell from the minute you walk in. You know the place where everybody knows your name? That's what it's all about at the Elwha River Casino. Not only will you find over 100 of your favorite slots and fun new ways to play, you'll find your friends at the Elwha too. There's always great specials at the River's Edge Grill and a very rewarding rewards club. The Elwha Rewards Club is free and easy to join, and you're in for all kinds of fun. Member parties, hot seat drawings, tons of giveaways, double point days, and more. If you're 55 or older, every Wednesday is your day. Earn 2 times the points, get 30% off in the grill, and you gotta have those hot seats. Drawings from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. every Wednesday. Let's see. Your favorite slots, a delicious deli, fun promotions, and everybody knows your name? You know the place. It's all at the Elwha River Casino, the friendliest casino on the peninsula, just west of Port Angeles.
Your friends at Peninsula Bottling would like to extend a warm thank you to their customers for their continued loyalty over the years. Serving the Olympic Peninsula since 1955, Peninsula Bottling is your local Pepsi distributor and also one of the sponsors of KONP's Breakfast with Santa. Please remember to shop local this holiday season and support your hometown businesses so that our community can grow and prosper in the coming new year. Peninsula Bottling wishes everyone a very warm and happy holiday season.
If you can't get an appointment or don't have a doctor, remember ClinicCare. We can handle your primary health care needs, and you never need an appointment. ClinicCare, 621 East Front Street, 452-5000. We make health care easier and more affordable.
Drennan and Ford Funeral Home and Crematory, Clallam County's only locally owned funeral home and crematory. For immediate, dependable, and affordable services, trust Drennan and Ford Funeral Home, 457-1210 or drennanford.com.
He is the local business guru with the SBDC. And the best part about Kevin is, well, he's a nice guy, but also he can talk with you as a business owner or if you've got an idea for free, because that's part of the deal.
It's free and it's also confidential.
Yep.
We never discuss our clients' work unless we're permitted to.
It's important, especially in this conversation we're having, because you may have an idea. Then you want to talk to, whether it's fiddleheads or whatever.
Right.
Kevin's not going to spill the beans to someone else about it.
Not unless you sign a form that says it's okay for you to spill the beans, Kev.
Let's talk about a couple of other things. You wanted to mention some receivables insurance was one thing, I think.
Yes.
The other thing before we get to finance.
Remember, you don't just export hard goods. Services can be exported.
Yeah.
Web design, engineering drawings, project management. Those are in high demand, too. Just as a little aside, the entire country of Vietnam is rebuilding its airport infrastructure. They want everything for airports, radio, lights, design, all of these things, and a lot of it they want to get from overseas because they don't have it. Mm-hmm. So the opportunities are enormous, and it doesn't have to be a hard good. It can be a service too.
Okay, and a good point, which leads me to one thing
I
tease people about.
Yes.
A bed and breakfast is an exporter.
Now, here's the funny thing. The United States government considers anyone who collects money from overseas to be an exporter. So if your guests happen to be from overseas and they come toddling into your bed and breakfast, your hotel or your motel, and they lay down those foreign dollars on your counter, you have served the same role as any other exporter. It's just that in your case, you didn't have to ship anything overseas. Yeah. Your customers brought the money to you.
The package came to you, basically.
Exactly. And so you wanted to talk about money, and that's what's exciting, because if you decide to go into exporting, you might say, well, that's okay, but how am I going to get the money to fund this inventory that's going to be going overseas? It's going to be gone for a long time. I'm going to have to pay for it before I ship it. What if somebody says, gee, I'd love to buy 2,000 of those, but I don't want to pay until they get here? What if you need some additional equipment to manufacture, store, or transport these goods? Well, the Export-Import Bank, which now has a branch in Seattle, and the Washington Export Finance Assistance Center can help you with financing for covering inventory. My cardboard box client got a $250,000, that's $250,000 loan from the Export Finance Assistance Center to have adequate inventory to ship to Canada.
Interesting. And of course, that's probably easily paid back over time because
you're selling more.
Yeah, right. You're able to grow your business exponentially by having
precisely. That. Yeah. And if you needed a specialized piece of equipment. In fact, I was just talking to the North Olympic Timber Action Committee,
NOTAC,
about how if you are harvesting timber for shipment overseas, you can get capital funding to buy better equipment for your harvesting, your shipping. You can literally buy a logging truck with export money if you're trucking those logs down to the port log yard to be put on a ship and taken
overseas. Which is really kind of an interesting way to look at it, because you may not think of it as export, because we tend to think, well, that's got to be something you buy, put it on a ship, and send it out.
Right. But it's the government looks all the way back to the source.
The stream of it. Okay.
And says you can get working capital loans if you need to hire an expert to help you create a system or a project. Mm-hmm. If you need to add staff, and of course you haven't gotten the sales yet, so you need some working capital. If you want to sell those goods overseas on account, then what if they don't pay? Are you going to hop in a plane, grab a couple of firearms, get on over to South Korea and say it's time for you to pay for that lipstick? You don't have to, because if you've established a relationship with that customer and the Export-Import Bank or the Export Finance Assistance Center can get an understanding of their creditworthiness, they will give you receivables insurance. Well, they won't give it to you, but they'll sell you receivables insurance, which will allow you to collect up to 80% of any loss for an overseas receivable.
That's right. And that's a big deal, because I think a lot of people who get into this start worrying about, just that. It's not like I'm doing an over-the-counter retail sale here.
And it's also hard, especially if you're in larger goods. Well, a customer's not going to be super excited about sending you $25,000and hoping they get their 200 truck vaults. So the last item that I think is really exciting is money, and it's money to visit your markets. We have something called the State Trade Expansion Program, or STEP, and they have STEP grants. can be up to $5,000. You can use it to participate in a foreign trade mission. You can use it for subscription services provided by the Department of Commerce. You can use it to pay website fees, design marketing media, go to a trade show, participate in export training workshops, do a reverse trade mission where you bring the customers over here, design some media, do a trade show exposition, buy all those folding things that you set up when you get there, and you're all tired and your eyes are all baggy. And all these things are financeable with a $5,000 grant that we get through the Department of Commerce.
Wow. So, I mean, yeah, so you have a marketing arm available to you in some ways just to get out there and do it. I think this illustrates, maybe to bring it full circle, that, you know, exporting is a big deal to the government here because the illustration of people bringing their money and plopping it down at the bed and breakfast, that's what they want.
That's
right?
Exactly
they
right.
They want other people's money coming into this country.
We've got to balance those payments.
Right.
There's a funny thing about exports. From the 1800s, we have been measuring exports by the 5,000-pound load. So if you export something that's outgoing at less than 5,000 pounds, we don't count it.
Oh, really?
So we don't know how much we're really exporting.
So the guy with the thermos, even though he's exporting, probably didn't count.
It's not a 5,000-pound shipment, so it's not counted.
Interesting.
Okay. And so those logs, they're counted.
Yeah, right.
But your fiddleheads might not be
but
counted.
Yeah, I'm just kind of going through my head. I think there's a lot of things that aren't counted, probably coming from a small business especially.
So with our balance of payment situation, it might be reported as worse than it is because we're only counting the chunky stuff.
The Boeings of the world and you know, sending a big plane overseas.
Boeing, logs. Microsoft's exports don't weigh 5,000 pounds, but boy, are they worth a lot of money.
This is so true. That's a whole other conversation.
It
we could talk about intellectual property at some point because that's another topic,
and
too.
Intellectual property protection is a concern in exporting. The SBDC has some guides on that. And we also have a wonderful gentleman named Vern who does who does very expert consulting on exports. I've got my experts and my exports confused here. I shouldn't have those two martinis before I came on. But the sense is that Vern has worked overseas. He's lived overseas. He's participated in a lot of different markets. He's developed import programs for companies overseas. And he can really help our clients get down to the very lowest level of detail on every one of those concerns that people have. He's done some amazing work in Eastern Washington, getting some Eastern Washington agricultural products and some manufactured products overseas and over here on the west side as well.
And the price is great.
You cannot beat the price. It is always free. Or, again, when we're honest, we'll say it's taxpayer-supported.
You already
paid for it.
Right.
Yep.
All right. So, Kevin, you have great resources.
Thank you.
KevinHoult.com, right?
That's right. H-O-U-L-T. Remember, K-E-V-I-N-H-O-U-L-T.com. Without me, there is no you. And so also, 865-4938. Give me a call.
Right. And not just this, but just about anything you're thinking about with business or if you're thinking of, you know, trying to step up your management of a place.
Exactly.
Certainly have great resources.
Cope with all those new labor laws?
Yeah, that's a whole other thing, and perhaps I think we'll be talking again
about
that.
I ruined everybody's lunch in Squim last Tuesday at the chamber meeting there.
There's even angst in our building about this. So
it's a pretty anxious situation. I'm also going to throw out a little cybersecurity thing. There is a spate of spam emails that are going around that say, "Hi there, I've hacked your computer, and I found out you went to a lot of sites that you'd be very embarrassed if someone saw. So if you send me $1,000 Bitcoin, I'll make sure this file isn't released to everyone in your address book." Now, I got a copy of it the other day, and I thought, well, that's funny. I do everything in the cloud, so you didn't get an address book from me.
Yeah, right.
And they wanted $1,000. What's funny is I got one yesterday, and now it's down to $800.
Oh, well, so, that's capitalism.
I think they're competing with each other.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you get that scary email, relax. They didn't get in your computer, and even if you did go to some websites you would be embarrassed about, nobody's going to find out about it.
Wait long enough, it'll be down to
$200. Right.
There you go. All right, Kevin, good to see you again. And we'll do it again here in the next few weeks. And KevinHoult.com, KevinHoult. And all of the info and contact stuff is there for Kevin, and it is a great resource. The SBDC, which has an office right here in our area,
downtown.
Taking care of Clallam and Jefferson County. So, Kevin, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Todd. Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with a bit more right after this.
Your pitch comes first at First Race. so hard to find a good time to wash your car or truck. Why not let the friendly folks at First Race Car Wash do the job in minutes? Get a wash and polish wax and fill up with high-quality Union 76 gas. Diesel's also available at First Race Car Wash.
You're a winner every time when you've got that First Race shine.
Ooh, your finish comes first at First Race.
Eagle One, prepare to rendezvous with Galaxy.
Copy that, Houston.
Eagle One, prepare for an unscheduled docking with Domino's One.
Confirming two medium, two topping pan pizzas, Houston.
Affirmative, Eagle One, sausage with black olives and pepperoni with mushrooms.
Just $8.99 with the online order, Houston.
Affirmative, Eagle One.
Houston, we have a problem.
Go ahead, Eagle One.
We forgot about the tip.
Order online at Domino's.com.
I'll be right back. I'm taking the dog for a walk.
Right. You're not dog walking. You're going to Fairmount Grocery again.
What?
You'll find any reason to stop at Fairmount Grocery for those deli snacks and munchies.
Here, boy. Come with Daddy.
You're not walking the dog. Why don't you just admit it? You're hooked on Fairmount Grocery's deli. Besides, your act would be more believable if we had a dog.
Okay, you're right. I'm going to Fairmount Grocery for a deli snack.
I knew it!
We should get a dog.
Fairmount Grocery, west of Port Angeles on 101.
Imagine seeing your house on fire. Even if you knew your family was safe, imagine how desperate you'd feel. And then help arrives. Your local firefighters, mostly volunteers, hurry to the danger to keep your loss to a minimum. Our firefighters are heroes, and we owe them a lot.
You can join the next generation of local heroes by signing up today to be a volunteer firefighter with Clallam 2 Fire Rescue. All you need to do is call our office at 457-2550 or stop by our offices at 1212 East 1st Street in Port Angeles and fill out an application. Our volunteers receive many benefits, including pay per call, state volunteer retirement, emergency response training, uniforms, and more. Apply today. You'll be glad you did.
35 Talking a bit about what's called community paramedicine. We have Port Angeles Fire Chief Ken Dubuque here, and hopefully in a bit, Police Chief Brian Smith's going to be joining us, because actually both of these agencies in one way or another kind of contribute into what is called community paramedicine. So, Ken, good to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Nice to see you. Thanks.
And let's talk about just what that is. When you say community paramedicine, what are we talking about?
Well, what we're talking about are firefighter paramedics who are working in an expanded role in the community. And what we've found is that there is a very large underserved population in the community of people who just have either a difficult time getting to medical help, or have a difficult time accessing it, or knowing where to go and what to do. And so what we're looking at is following a model that's been in place in a couple of different places in the state and a couple of different places around the country, where fire department paramedics will actually partner with community organizations and provide service in the field. And so the good thing about it is the fire service has always been very reactive. Someone calls 911 and we react to it. We deal with the issue, and we just haven't been very proactive. But what we found in the past is that, so for instance, when I first started, we were fighting a lot more fires than we fight now. And the reason why we've dropped off largely is because of prevention efforts. Mm-hmm. And so we recognized that there was a problem, and we ramped up the prevention efforts, and then we've actually cut down on the number of fires. Well, as the fires went down, the EMS, the medical calls went up. And so now we're basically in the same position. We really need to be more proactive about this. We need to get out in the community. We need to help people before they have that need to dial 911.
So the logic, and I think a lot of people may say, well, I've heard you guys talking about the fact that call levels are just so high. How can you, you know, have right. time to actually do this? And what you're kind of saying is, it may make some sense to make the time to do this, because it could affect those the call volumes down the road.
Absolutely. So basically what we're doing is we're taking a bit of a risk. We're stepping into sort of the great unknown here, but I believe that it'll pan out, and it'll show that by spending the time up front, the long-term result will be a decrease in our call volume, but more importantly, an increase in the general health of the community, right. which is the primary reason for doing it.
One of the things you're also doing here is something that's been a tremendous
problem here is access to healthcare. Yeah, I mean, you even said it as much. There are a lot of people who just don't have a doctor, can't get to a doctor, don't know where to even begin.
Right.
And so they, you know, take a trip in your ambulances or your medic vehicles and into the ER, and that's about it.
And the reality is that 911 becomes the primary medical care provider.
That's their clinic call in a lot of ways, isn't it? Yeah.
And then the other side of that is that those costs on the other side are extraordinarily high. Yeah. So when a person walks through the doors of Olympic Medical Center's ER, that's it's a substantial cost, and they don't turn anyone away. And there's not only substantial cost, but it causes substantial wait times for everyone. So it becomes a difficult thing. So everything that we can do to reduce the number of people that are going through those doors is a good thing. We get them into other primary care places. We get them hooked up with other social services that are out there. And then they recognize that there are places that they can go. There are things that they can do before they call 911.
Yeah, before you get to even close to crisis. And I don't know if you can put a percentage on it, but how many of the calls, you know, you're getting are not really an emergency in the sense like we would think of them being,
I don't know. That's
a super emergency, or something that maybe if they had access, they could probably have avoided a call.
There's a pretty substantial percentage. And I wouldn't say I really couldn't give you an idea. And the thing that's important to me to understand is that although it may not be an emergency to me, the person is dialing, it's an emergency to the person dialing 911. And so we treat them all the same, obviously, but we do know that there are some that we could divert, or there are some that could be handled without a medic unit going with two people, but a single community paramedic could respond and take care of, because we have a very good idea based on the call whether or not there's going to be a transport required, and so we can head those off.
Right.
So we're looking at some great community partners. We're looking at working with Olympic Medical Center, North Olympic Health Network, Peninsula Behavioral Health, and the Jamestown Tribe right now. And we're looking to add others as well. And the intent would be that they all know users that use their services on a frequent basis, and so that we'll all share information amongst each other, and then we'll be able to provide health care up front.
HIPAA issues, are there any of that with the sharing of this? I mean, how do you make that work?
Because there are tremendous HIPAA issues there, and so but HIPAA is set up in order to enable that, and so the different organizations have what's called BAAs, their business associate agreements, that are put in place, and everybody signs them, so that we're very careful about the information that's shared, how it's shared, and who it gets shared with. But it's important. We have to have the ability to do that.
Right.
And so we can get to the people who need that help.
Okay, so let's maybe run me through what might be a typical call that this would affect. So you get a call, you can then look it up into a database as to these are some issues this person's had in the past. I mean, how do you get to the folks who need the help, I guess?
Well, there are a couple of different ways to do that. So the first way would be that just a 911 call that comes in through dispatch. And so if the paramedic is on duty and available at that time, they can get together with the officer in charge. They can basically triage that call and say, either this is someone that we know, it's an address we go to all the time, and maybe we can take care of it that way. That'd be one way. A second way is referrals directly by the shifts. So the shifts go out, they go out on calls every day, multiple times a day, and they get used to the patients and they can make referrals as well. They can say, you know, we saw so-and-so today and their living conditions aren't great, or they're not taking their medications or whatever, and that kind of a referral. But then the primary method would come from the community partners. So let's just take, for example, Peninsula Behavioral Health. Okay. So they know a lot of their clients require regular, constant medication during their lives, either daily, monthly, weekly, whatever. And they know that sometimes they have difficulty coming in to get their medications. They have difficulty keeping track of their medications. And so they know who those folks are, and we can make an appointment. We can go out there. We can make sure that they get their medications. We can go out there with a behavioral health counselor. And then a medic is going to be able to look at different things than the behavioral health specialist will. The behavioral health specialist is looking at a very specific set of parameters, whereas the paramedic can go, they can look on the medical side, they can take a set of vitals, they can look at the living conditions, they can look at the person's general health, and they can maybe refer them to other care that they might need. But if they can get to these patients and enable them to take their medications on a regular basis, then it enables them to basically live their lives kind of stress-free, mm-hmm. and then it keeps them out of the back of a police car or out of the back of a medic right. unit or out of the back of the emergency room.
And again, saves money in the long run.
It definitely yeah. saves money in the room. And then along the same lines, North Olympic Health Network and Olympic Medical Center have patients that they might discharge, say, post-operative or something like that. And so they might make an appointment with someone who's post-operative and say, you know, make sure that their wounds aren't weeping or that they're mm-hmm. they're taking care of the medications that they need to take care of. They're getting their food and drink that they need to take care of and kind of work in concert with home health in order to do that. But again, provide an additional layer of care there.
And there's a reality in just what you said right there. I think there's probably a lot of calls you go out on where that has happened, where there's absolutely. People who have been discharged, but then they didn't follow up, or maybe they didn't understand how to Correct. Follow up and what needed to happen.
And so a big part of that is something that's called medication reconciliation, where they may get discharged, and they were seen by someone other than their primary care doctor, so they may have been given medications, and they take them home, and they may not mm-hmm. realize that the medication they were given may not be in sync with something that they've been given by their primary right. care, whereas a paramedic can go, and they're trained well enough to know, and they can look at those various medications and say, well, maybe you should not be taking this until this one, or whatever. Right. And so that's another big part of it, is that medication reconciliation.
Before we hit the break, Chief Smith was what we're hoping is going to show up. If he doesn't, but let's talk about kind of the police component, because now that you've explained the program, I can kind of see exactly why maybe officers are going to be somewhat engaged in this, right?
Absolutely. And so, to give credit where credit is due, the police department actually beat us to the punch in this, and several months ago have an agreement with VMO, and right. so they've got community basically health. Not so much health, but kind of a community social worker that's teaming up with the right. police officers and going out to places where they know there are homeless folks and disadvantaged folks, and they're trying to help them, again, get them to the housing that they might need or the referrals that they might need. And so we're looking at working with them very closely. And
yeah, because there's
up.
Some things that could dovetail, obviously. I think some of the same issues that they may be right. trying to deal with on a social issue, right. there's some health issues, too, yeah. often are a part of it.
And I see this as being a potentially very synergistic. It's going to be the 2+2=5 sort of in a relationship. Yeah. And at the end of the day, we're both police and fire are going to be a lot more proactive in the approach that we have for the community.
All right. We'll take a break. I want to come back and talk just a little bit about how you staff this up and how it gets delivered, so to speak, as we talk with Port Angeles Fire Chief Ken Dubuque a bit about what is a really unique program, although unique here, it's happened in other places. It's like anything. No one has an original idea. It's always stolen from somewhere, and that's okay because it's working somewhere else. Anyway, we're talking about community paramedicine and be back to talk a bit more about that and how it may look here in the Port Angeles area right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
At Les Schwab Tires, we're drivers just like you. We merge, we get stuck in traffic, we go on road trips, and we know what it means to truly rely on your car, which is why we do everything we can to make things right with you and your vehicle. From checking your brakes for free to patching up a flat when you need it. So if that sounds good to you, well, we're right there with you. Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
The Family Christmas Album, sharing memories of Christmases gone by. Presented by Squim Valley Funeral Chapel.
Hi, this is Mark Gustafson with Squim Valley Funeral Chapel. May this holiday season bring you and your family happiness and joy. Happy holidays from all of us at Squim Valley Funeral Chapel.
When I was 6, about a week or two before Christmas, I asked my mom for the best pink bike I've ever seen in the store. And she said, well, we'll see, because you've been kind of bad this year. And well, 1 week before Christmas, I was looking around and seeing where the bike was, and I didn't see it. Christmas came, and I was ripping through all my presents and looking through all of the rooms just to see where my bike was, but I didn't see it, and I was really sad. And then, my mom, being the wonderful mom that she was, asked me to go to the outside kitchen to get her a pan. and sniffling. I opened the door, and there was my pink bike. It was wonderful. I was little tears in my eyes, and I said I was sorry for being such a bad girl, and that was the best Christmas I can ever remember.
Direct from the North Pole, it's the Vern Burton Christmas Fair.
The City of Port Angeles Parks and Recreation Department invite you to the Vern Burton Christmas Fair, Saturday and Sunday. You'll see all kinds of local vendors selling handcrafted items. Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. Admission is free, so bring the whole family. The Vern Burton Christmas Fair this weekend at the Vern Burton Community Center.
I've got some exciting news about our open house tour. This is Dale from Wilder RV, and it's on now. Come take the open tiny house tour with our biggest and best selection of the Forest River Park models. And now, for the first time, we are introducing the Crop Park model lineup. We have an awesome selection of models and new floor plans, so stop by and take the open tiny house tour or check us out 24/7 at wilderrvs.com.
This is Beth at Parkview Villas, and I invite you to come and see us this holiday season. From November 19th through December 3rd, we will have an entry box for the annual Breakfast with Santa drawing. Come in, drop your child's name in the drawing, and stay for a tour of our community. We always have hot coffee and cocoa at the ready, and it is my pleasure to have you as our guest. Winners for the breakfast with the jolly old elf himself will be called the week of December 3rd. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Here's another reason to go nuts this holiday season. The Kiwanis Club of Port Angeles is once again holding their annual sale of gourmet mixed nuts. It's a Port Angeles holiday tradition. Enjoy a large can of roasted and seasoned with sea salt, mixed cashews, almonds, hazelnuts, and pecans for $20 per can. Or purchase the chocolate-covered Delicious Delights in a holiday tin perfect for gift-giving, also only $20. Kiwanis sells these goodies to raise money for scholarships for local youth, for Kids Fest, and for so many other good works throughout the community. Enjoy our famous gourmet mixed nuts or delicious delights this holiday season. Perfect for holiday munching or to give as gifts, your choice, just $20. You'll find them on sale daily at Jim's Pharmacy behind the Port Angeles Post Office and here at the Radio Pacific Studios at 721 East 1st Street in Port Angeles. Thanks for supporting the Kiwanis Club of Port Angeles and nuts to you this holiday season.
Let's do lunch at Rain Shadow Cafe. Enjoy homemade soups, artisan sandwiches with vegan and gluten-free options too. And save room for their world-class carrot cake. Remember, Rain Shadow Cafe for lunch across from City Hall, downtown Squim.
If you want to see an animule that's right up close to you, Olympic Game Farm is the place you'll find. This ain't no zoo. See the bears that are actors and buffalo as big as tractors at the Olympic Game Farm in the Squim.
Make the most of your winter season and get ahead with classes at Peninsula College. With three locations on the peninsula and online options, you can take the classes you need right at home. Get your high school diploma, train for a new job, or start here to transfer to a university. Small class sizes and personal attention get you to where you want to go. Classes start January 2nd. Apply now. go.penncall.edu. That's go.penncall.edu.
You've heard of tiny bubbles. Well, how about tiny homes? This is Dale from Wilder RV, and I would like to invite you to our open tiny house event now through the end of November. Wilder RV is the number one Forest River Park model dealer in the Northwest, and now we are carrying the Croft Park model brand. We currently have our biggest and best selection of tiny homes of the year, so hurry in and check them out or 24/7 at wilderrvs.com.
A better life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Can you give just 1 minute of your undivided attention to anything without multitasking? Just 1 minute. I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. People who use multiple media devices at the same time are more likely to use irrelevant information from their environment when forming impressions of people and situations they don't know. Those are the findings out of a new study from Rice University. Participants were asked to watch a video on TV, some of them while doing something else at the same time, some of them not. In the end, the people who multitasked were more likely to confuse other things going on in the room or on their screens with what was actually taking place on television. That's because there's really no such thing as multitasking. What you're actually doing is quickly switching your attention back and forth between one thing and another. Want to get things done more quickly and accurately? Focus on one thing at a time. I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, helping you live a better life.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Did you know that the IRS is getting more aggressive these days and they're using private agencies to track you down? Don't wait. If you owe more than $10,000, take advantage of the Fresh Start Initiative, a program in place that can help you now. You can save thousands and possibly have your taxes forgiven. Call the Tax Representation Helpline now about the Fresh Start program. If you qualify, it will stop the IRS collection agencies from coming after you within 24 hours. Get the break you deserve and call about the Fresh Start Initiative now. Call the Tax Representation Hotline now at 800-295-1046. Hurry, or it will just get worse. Let Tax Representation stop the IRS from targeting you within 24 hours. Call the hotline now at 800-295-1046. That's 800-295-1046. There is help for those of you who owe $10,000 or more, but it's important that you take action before these programs change. Call the special Tax Representation hotline now at 800-295-1046. 800-295-1046.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Download the app or text VOICE to 484848. Text VOICE to 484848 to try Babbel for free. That's VOICE to 484848.
News Radio KONP, Port Angeles, Squim, FM 101.7 and 101.3.